Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Well, it's the day after another set of primaries. Oh, the headlines. The headlines out this morning. This is true. You
okay.
can't make this stuff up.
Yes, you can.
But, well, you
kidding.
Could, but yeah. But the headline this morning reads, Trump suffered a brutal Florida primary blow.
Come on.
Yeah, you heard right. A brutal primary blow in Florida for Trump.
What happened?
Haley and DeSantis picked up a combined, are you ready for this, 17.8%, leaving Trump with just a mere 81.2% of the vote.
Mind you that DeSantis is what? The governor of Florida.
Yeah, you know, Trump swept the primaries that were yesterday. He's already – now, Trump actually got his nomination before Biden, but they didn't even say – they kind of – yeah, Trump won his too. After the
sure.
Biden secured his nomination, you know.
Yes. Well, you know, first of all, they're not going to give him any good press. You know, they're hard-pressed to acknowledge the fact that a guy that he endorsed in Ohio – won the GOP, won the GOP senatorial nomination yesterday, but that's not something they're going to brag about. You know, I got to play this for you first. You know, yesterday Peter Navarro went to jail.
Now, there's a lot of people being picked up and hustled off now, and more on the way.
The thing that gets me about Peter Navarro is, he is the exception and not the rule. I mean, we have Eric Holder, who was in contempt of Congress, and they did absolutely nothing to him. Nothing. Zero.
Yeah.
He laughed at it, and they did nothing. There was
he thumbed his nose.
I can't remember the lady's name. Lois Lerner. That's who it is, who was with the IRS. She also snubbed her nose at a subpoena and was in contempt of Congress, and they did nothing. All right, we have Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden was subpoenaed to go to a private hearing, and he said, no, it has to be public or nothing at all. So he snubbed his nose at that subpoena. So then they gave him a subpoena for the public hearing, and after initially saying he'd do it, he said, on second thought, no, I'm not going to do that either. He snubbed his nose as that. They have done nothing. Zero. The weakest case, in my opinion, is the case against Peter Navarro, because Peter Navarro didn't just snub his nose for no reason. He said, look it, I was an advisor to the President of the United States of America who had executive privilege. And I was shielded by that executive privilege. If the president says, I'm not telling you why I did X, Y, or Z, then my subordinate can't tell you that either, okay? And that's what he was saying, essentially. And these liberal judges said, bull, you're going to do it or you're going to go to jail. He said, I can't do it. It's executive privilege. So they ordered him to jail, and yesterday, Peter Navarro went to jail. I want to play something, and I want to play it, Bill, only for a reason, because Peter Navarro was making a statement before they, you know, they hauled him off in handcuffs, which is just, it's so embarrassing and humiliating, and it's another Paul Manafort moment, but we won't get into that right now. Paul Manafort, I don't think, deserved what he got, and they just buried him. Fortunately, President Trump came along and absolved him of his crimes, but kind of he can only do so much after the fact. But Peter Navarro was making a statement, and when you think, when you're watching television here 2.5 years, 3 years after the 2020 elections, if you start to give up, say, well, Fox isn't all that bad, Fox is really still one of ours, so we still get the conservative news, understand that they still to this day, no matter what you may think, they are not to be trusted. Right in the middle of Peter Navarro's statement, and it was a relatively short statement, Sandra Smith comes in and starts to fact-check him. Listen.
Of absolute testimonial immunity, and it was only with my case that somehow that has changed. And here's where the homework is, because the big constitutional separation of powers are these. Can Congress compel a senior White House advisor, what they call the alter ego of a president, to testify before Congress? And executive privilege goes back to George Washington and his remarks to the Congress regarding the Jay Treaty. And he said very simply and clearly, succinctly, elegantly, that to write to the Congress, he said, I cannot command you as members of Congress to come to me. You cannot command me to come to you. And the reason is...
All right, and he will be reporting to that prison 2 p.m. Eastern time there in Miami to serve his four-month prison sentence. He began by saying, not about me. He said this is about a crippling blow to the justice system. To fact check there, it is no longer an alleged crime that he'll be serving this four-month sentence for. He has obviously been convicted, and there was no evidence that did that would have excluded him per executive privilege from testifying. So John Roberts just on Monday refused to delay his prison time. He continues to appeal his conviction, Peter Navarro, for refusing to testify before Congress for his involvement in efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. 74 years old, 4 months, Peter Navarro on his way to prison.
Sandra Smith, you know, and boy, did she toe the line over at Fox. You know, she is... in my opinion, she's not one of us.
Was it her choice or somebody else?
Well, it's probably a producer in her earpiece, but she does it dutifully. I've heard her do other stuff. She doesn't seem to hesitate. For example, Maria Bartiromo works at Fox, and right. She, God bless her, she maintains her her position. She hasn't been pulled over to the left
side of the road.
You know. But anyway, Bill... Peter Navarro shouldn't be in jail, in my opinion. I mean,
well, there's a lot of people going to jail that shouldn't be. I got a weird cryptic news thing yesterday. It wasn't really about Giuliani. It said Giuliani's sentenced to prison. No, he's not. Now they're going after him. But what seems to be happening is these liberal judges, we don't need a hearing. We don't need to do anything. Get them, lock them up. That's it. They're done.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that you sent me a text yesterday pointing that out to me, and I was thinking, you know, if it's really happening around us, isn't it real? I mean, it seems like they're going after one side and trying to put them in jail and ignoring the other side. What do you think?
I don't know. You know, maybe when you look at, what's the guy's name? Lou Perez, you know, he went to prison. He was used by the Republicans as a investigate Hunter and Biden, and now the Democrats are using him, and they're, you know, so you got him. But you know who was picked up and sent to jail?
Who?
Is Stephanie Lambert. Now, she was arrested by U.S. Marshals in D.C. following court appearance after submitting evidence, all right? Evidence. She's a lawyer,
right?
All right? That there was a problem with, you know, emails from Dominion voting systems. Anyway, she presented
evidence as a lawyer.
Yes,
for her client. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, yeah, because that they're using in the case. You know, to say, well, wait, there might have been election fraud. Oh no! You found the goods on us. You know, that means you stole the information or you leaked information.
Bill, they're not even being coy about it, you know? They're being blatant about it. You know, just look at Peter Navarro's going to jail and Hunter Biden's going to dinner.
They're locking up. They're going after, they want to get Cannon, Eileen Cannon, because, yeah, she said, look, you know, Trump saying that his immune is not enough, but they're going to, she set up an April 2nd.
Oh, I saw that. She gave him two jury instructions, and the left is going bananas. And the jury instructions were absolutely correct. They were based upon the law, you know.
Yeah. And they're saying, oh, she's already got a conclusion. She's actually, well, you know, excuse me, they are based upon the law. But, you know, you look at all these other cases, and the judge even said before, I've made up my mind. Yeah, yeah, no, we don't need this. Oh, yeah. We don't need a jury. Yeah. You
like
know,
like, Engeron, right? Engeron.
Yeah. So it is a it's an unjust system. It's one-sided, and they're going after their dissenters that are sitting out there saying, wait a minute, what about this? I have evidence here. You have evidence? Yes, I do. Lock that bastard up.
Let me ask you a question. I got you another question. This is Bill Knight decides, you know, I think I'm just going to go down and get myself another gun. So can you just go down to the store, grab a gun, pull it on the table, put your money down and leave?
No.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman, appointed, by the way, by Barack Hussein Obama, ruled that an illegal immigrant has the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The ruling, listen to this. I know it gets better. The ruling came about in the case of Herberto Caribal Flores, who faces charges under 18 U.S.C. 922, and it gives a, you know, the statute, a federal statute that prohibits non-citizens without legal status in the United States from possessing a firearm. And here's the point. She says, no, we violated his rights. Mind you, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, this I was thinking about this in my car yesterday. As I was, wait a second. He came across the border and he broke our laws, so that would make him a not just
criminal.
That's it. That's the word.
Yeah, criminal.
That's the word. He's a criminal. And what this judge, this Sharon Johnson Coleman, the Barack Obama appointee, what she's done is said, no, this criminal, he has a right to bear arms. He's never used a gun in violence in our country. So and he hasn't broken any laws. So, but yes, he has. There, he's here. The whole premise of his being here is breaking of a law. But I know, Coleman, that's a hard stretch for you. So she's going to allow him, bailiff, give this man his gun back and send him on his way into the public streets. Okay. Now again, Bill Knight has to go down, and when he buys a gun, has to fill out all these forms. They have to do a background check. But apparently, if you're an illegal in this country, you know, forget the fact he's an illegal. The fact that he had a gun and it wasn't registered should have meant something. Do you know?
Should have.
Yeah. But it didn't mean a damn thing to this woman. She is a federal judge. She's a federal judge. But see, elections have consequences, folks, and I know this sounds like ancient history, but when back in the days of Barack Obama, he was already installing his people in places. He was already putting people who weren't qualified, literally weren't qualified. Listen, I don't care if she graduated from Harvard Law School. I don't care. If that woman is a federal judge and makes decisions like that, quote, quote, based upon the law, end quote, then she has no business being in court. I should be a judge. I should be. My background is radio disc jockey, okay? I mean, I am more qualified to make legal decisions that have common sense involved than that woman. But the whole system, look at, you just said it a little while ago, Bill. Engeron in New York, another plant. Another guy who shouldn't be a judge. Another guy who shouldn't be taken seriously anywhere. I mean, another guy who in sane times would be laughed out of his local bar for making decisions and judgments like he's made in the courtroom. I mean, if he walked into a bar as a guy coming off the street and started talking about Trump and he told the people in the bar what he was going to do if he was judge, they'd kick him out. But but because he has the robe on and some stupid person swore him in as a judge, he has the power to crush a guy who shouldn't be crushed, a guy who's done nothing wrong. Although I don't think he will be crushed even if he has the decisions come down If they take away, for example, one of his businesses next week, and then the ruling goes in Trump's favor, I got to think that as long as there's an appeal in progress, they can't sell any of his properties.
Oh, BS, they can. They can. They'll give it away to some. They will fleece it out the door as quick as possible, and they probably won't even get real cash for it.
But see,
the person will buy it on
their state's going to have to reimburse him. The state will have to reimburse him the $454 million. They're going
Okay, let's say the property is worth $1.3 billion, and they're holding it for $454, and they sell it for that. What about the overage there? And New York is essentially bankrupt again, just like down in, well, they say they got a surplus account, but there's a money thing going on that's been, I've been seeing the backstory on that, like down in Massachusetts. They don't have the money. They won't repay them. When they take it, they will squander it, lose it in a day's time, and they will not be able to repay it, and there will be some little crazy back law thing that exonerates them, that some little liberal-appointed Democrat judge will go, well, you know, because you were a suspect.
Remember Kevin O'Leary from the Shark Tank?
Oh, yeah, he's all up in your arms about
this. Listen, he was on again as a guest on CNN. I want you to hear the very end, and the supercilious, pompous little anchor who tries to interrupt him and at one point says, I have a nice voice and I will not let it be interrupted. She makes the dumbest statement, the most egomaniacal statement I've heard in a long time from a TV personality, end quote. Here's Kevin O'Leary.
I don't think this case is about Trump anymore. I think this case is about New York. It's about the American brand. It's about what we promise the world in terms of fairness and justice and investing capital in a country that's built the largest economy on earth. Forfeiture, seizing of assets, is that in our nomenclature in America? Is that what we tell people that want to bring their money here and protect property rights? Forget about Trump. Nothing to do with Trump. You think this is good for business in New York? You think this is good for business in America? To take a law that we use to protect people against buying refrigerators at an overpriced value decades ago and apply it against an individual and then talk about seizing assets like he was in Venezuela or in Cuba? This is very, very, very bad look for New York. And everybody around the world is watching this. This may be great for the Attorney General. But this is not good for America.
But in terms of the valuation, can you be clear as to why? I mean, why would the properties not be sufficient collateral?
What a great message to send out all around the world. Take a claim where there was no monies lost. There was no fraud here in the context of actually people losing money. Deutsche Bank, who made the loan, was made whole. And let's make a penalty of $500 million against a crime, apparently, where no monies were lost. Great message for New York. Great message for America. Bring your capital because we'll protect your property. I think that was a statement that would be much better made sometime in Venezuela. I'm not kidding. That's a scary, scary message. And by the way, there are
again,
no such thing
the
as
laws
half a
exist
billion
to
dollar
protect
bonds.
The marketplace.
There are no $500 million bonds. Never been done before. Never. This law has never been applied. Forget about Trump. Nothing to do with Trump. Everything to do about America and the New York brand. I love this state. My children live here. A horrible message to everybody around the world watching this. Absolutely horrific.
Well, wait, Kevin, but hold on a second. Kevin,
Trump will be gone one day. This attorney general will be gone one day. And this is what you want to tell people around the world.
And it won't be talked over. Kevin O'Leary, I would like to hear you to say, but
America.
What are you doing?
Not America.
It's not America, but it is.
I have a nice voice, and I will not be talked over.
What the hell is that all about? You know what? Talk her right out the damn door and let it hit her on the butt to spring her out in the front of the street. Look, she said one thing. One thing. The law says. No, there was no law that he was, you know, convicted under. It was made up. It was Engerandump.
Yeah.
You know, it was, and, but, you know, she wants to talk about law. The judge stated he had a foregone conclusion, did not give Trump the right to a jury trial, said he didn't ask for it, but he did ask for it.
He sure did.
That's been proven. So he's a lion sack of
Jewia.
Yeah. And look, the judge lied. That should be number one. Number two, he sat there and said he'd already made up his mind. I'm sorry, but he's already prejudiced. And then he ruled on stuff that there is no law, but they're trying to take things in New York because they have some gray. I mean, they got big gray matter there that sits there. Well, we can take this and twist it and interpret it any way we want to.
Yeah, I know.
And you are subjects to live under our little mushroom kingdom.
You know, the thing that I thought was interesting, and no one talks about this. I've heard nobody but Kevin O'Leary just say this, that there's never been a half a billion dollar judgment like this. You know, and think about it. You have to, and somebody, I was going to get it this morning, you have the Constitution in front of you, right?
I did, but hang on. I may have moved it.
I shouldn't drop this on you like this. Maybe I can find it during a section. I think it's the Eighth Amendment.
All right.
Eighth Amendment. The guy brought it out, and he showed it, and I thought, my God, that's, there shall be no penalty. How do they put it? Oh, it was so perfectly put. That is not reasonable, you know, not right. Reasonable. You can't have an onus. You can't have a judgment that is ridiculously high, that is unobtainable for the person who's being, you know, levied with this, whatever, you know, penalty it is. They're in violation of the Constitution based upon what I heard yesterday. I will find it. I will find it.
It's in my travel bag because when I travel, I actually take it with me. So because we do these podcasts on the road, and it's in the travel bag.
Well, you just, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I mean, you know, $454 million penalty. By the way, he has to pay it by Monday or he forfeits like one of his properties. And you just said it before we started the show, like 40 Wall Street, which is one of Trump's show places, right?
Yeah.
It may be worth $1 billion, but they can seize it for $454 million. And like you said, they could turn around and sell it for $454 million next week. The state of New York.
They can sell it for, you know what they'll do? They'll sell it for half of its worth or even less than that, but they will do one thing. Now, he should demand, well, before you go in there and do anything, I demand an entire inventory because Trump has a preclusion for gold and things like that. Yeah, you pulled it up on the internet.
I did. Listen, the Eighth Amendment of the United States Constitution protects against imposing excessive bail, excessive fines, or cruel and unusual punishments. This amendment was adopted on December 15th, 1791, along with the rest of the United States Bill of Rights. The Eighth Amendment, I'm going to repeat this again, the Eighth Amendment of the United States Constitution protects against imposing excessive bail, excessive fines, or cruel and unusual punishments. This is the first time that this kind of punishment has been levied on an American citizen, $454 million, and it is no coincidence that during an interrogatory, during a deposition, President Trump was asked, how much is your liquidity? And he said about $400 million. Liquidity is, yeah, you got a lot of properties worth billions, but how much is your actual cash on hand? He said about $400 million. And this damn judge turned around and said, well, we'll fix him. Penalty is $454 million, and you are busted, I mean, cash-wise.
Well, apparently she doesn't know the law, but she is the attorney general or whatever it is.
Letitia James. Yeah, but it was Engeron who imposed the penalty. So
yeah, so he should know the law too.
Yeah,
but he doesn't. No, he's more interested in flexing his flabby muscles in front of people half naked at the gym.
Have you? That's true. People are going, what? Yeah, you got to check the pictures of Engeron at the gym. The guy's got a problem.
He likes to flaunt his
junk. This guy is not. He hasn't got his head screwed on right. All right, he's a judge. And by the way, this is me stepping aside for a second. I am the son of a trial attorney, a criminal trial attorney, who had some success in his life. God bless him. He's no longer with us, but I can remember being in the car with my dad and talking about cases, and having my dad said, "Hey, not every judge is perfect. Trust me. Trust me, not every judge should be a judge. Some of these guys are appointed, and they're political hacks, and they don't know what they're talking about, and you have to explain as a lawyer the law to them. They should know the law, but they're not really in their seats because they're scholars. They're legal scholars. They may be." So the fact of the matter is, this guy Engeron is there as a hack. He was put in place probably for a case like this, for this kind of a situation by the left. Okay there, Judge Engeron, here comes that case we were talking about. We're going to put Trump in your courtroom, and you're going to nail him. Oh, don't worry about it. I got a judgment on him. I got a judgment on him before he steps foot in the courtroom. Don't worry about it. Anyway.
Well, yeah, you earn your keep there, buddy.
Bill, the Eighth Amendment, we got to remember that. There's a constitutional amendment that says you can't do what they're doing, and I haven't heard a lawyer. I haven't heard one. I've listened to all these different interviews with Trump's lawyers, and they're all decent, well-meaning people, but the first thing they should be saying is a violation of the Eighth Amendment. Forget all the other peripheral laws and other crap that's out there. The fact of the matter is, it's a violation of our constitutional rights. This is excessive. This is penalties.
Actually, the Eighth Amendment is something that every talk show pundit should talk about.
Absolutely.
And make sure it's shoved down their throat, because it is wrong. And, you know, if you're posting bail when you want to sit there and appeal something, well, you've got to post bail.
Yeah.
Sorry, you got to post bail. Okay, you've got a $454 million judgment. Well, it's $45 million. Would I want to shed loose at $45 million if I had $450 million liquidity? No, I wouldn't, but I'd still be pretty liquid. And then you still have the assets that are out there. And again, she knows this damn good and well. You walk up to the bank, you could have $10 billion worth of property and go, "I need to borrow $454 million. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
And we know you have the assets. We don't have the cash. The banks do not have that cash anymore.
That's right.
And if they sit there and go to, I don't know, the Federal Reserve, the banks don't have their 10% that they're supposed to have there, and the Federal Reserve doesn't have the money. Yes, friends, this country is busted. It's broke. She is doing a witch hunt, fleecing him for money or assets. They'll sell it for pennies on the dollar because they need that money for something else. And this is going on, the ripping off of America.
Yeah.
They are sitting there going, she's gone after other big companies. And she's going after major players. You know, Kevin Larry talks about scaring everybody. Ought to scare the hell out of anybody because, they're going after the big businesses. They're looking out for me. No. You know what? They're coming after you too. I know up in Massachusetts, people are going, "Well, I filed my taxes, getting a return from the government." Yeah, you got your return if you already filed it 2 weeks ago. What, you filed your state tax and you got a letter that said you're being audited? Wait, they haven't had time to go over my thing. Yeah, they owe me money. Yeah, they're flagging people. If they owe them money, you got 30 days to give us all your information, your receipts, and your W-2s, all that information. If you don't, we're not going to give you your money. We're going to withhold it from you. And then they're going to sit there and audit you. Now, they got a shortfall of money going on up there. Now, I'm just saying there's a reason for this. They'll sit there and say, "Well, it's random. We do this by random." If you did your tax return 2 weeks ago and it mailed in and they're going, or electronically went in and they had all that time in the world while doing taxes to come to yours and say, oh, there's something wrong here, or a computer spit it out? No. That is, it was programmed to spit out anybody with a return.
You know,
my opinion.
The thing that gets me is that it's a civil case, and this is not a criminal case. And I want you to imagine, if you're listening to this program, that you are in the middle of a civil trial. You, right? And a civil trial is a little less, it's not as strict as a criminal case.
They're
obviously
very lenient on what they do.
The rules, exactly. But and all of a sudden, you're in a situation where, let's say you may lose a piece of property. And the judge says, well, let's say, for example, hypothetically, they arrest you, they put you in jail, and you know that you haven't done anything wrong. Let's say it's a traffic violation, right? And you haven't done anything wrong. You're in jail unjustly, right? But you go in front of a judge, and the judge says, well, Mr. Harrington, I see your trial date is set for down the road in 6 months or 8 months or 5 months or 3 months or whatever. Your bail for this civil, your bail is set at $5 million. Now, I want, I don't make $5 million a year, I mean, $5 million might as well be $454 million for me. That is something based upon the Eighth Amendment, which is excessive bail. That is an excessive fine, excessive fines, right? Excessive bail. These are things that there has to be balance. We talked about balance yesterday on our show. There has to be balance in our society for it to work. If the society isn't fair and balanced, which is not just a news term that Fox has, grabbed and made it theirs. It used to be a term, by the way, that was before Fox, when you said, news has to be fair and balanced. That was a description of how American news was supposed to run and American law was supposed to run. And it doesn't make sense. It's not legal. It's not legal what they're doing to Donald Trump right now. I mean, is there anybody out there in a position of legal power who isn't? Why aren't you standing up on your desk and screaming, it's against our laws, it's against the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, it's illegal for you to be doing? I don't care if you, like Kevin O'Leary says, it's not about Trump. Because if they can do it to Donald Trump, they can do it to Bill Knight, to Jim Harrington, to you. If you think you're immune to this, don't be. Don't be so naive. This is something which can come to your house, to your doorstep. If they can start going after the biggest and the strongest of us, hell, they can come after us. And we've got to, somebody, I mean, I cannot believe that a federal judge, isn't there one honest federal judge out there, maybe a Supreme Court justice who can put a stay on all this crap? I mean, it is obvious to the layman that it's illegal. How the hell can people who are supposedly legal scholars be sitting there going, well, I don't know, he was found guilty, and,
It's amazing because, these are state courts. They might have, big implications, but they're imposing a federal prosecution in a, by a state under their laws. And states have their own control of things, but they've really stepped over the bounds on this one, and they have violated the Constitution. New York is not a shining example of America, I can tell you that. But a lot of these
sad part about it is, Bill, when I was there, it was the place everybody wanted to go to.
Hey, it's a beautiful state. There's a lot of great places there, but they are in a shambles because you elected these, they're bad Republicans too. They're bad players on both sides, but you elected these idiots. I think you did, right? You did elect them, right?
Because there's some controversy about that too.
I mean, if you didn't elect them, then we better, as a people, do something about it. I was doing the math. Would you say that 70 million people would sit there and donate to Trump?
Oh, Bill, that's a terrific idea, by the way. I know where you're going with this. Yeah, I think absolutely.
$7 each, and that's it. He's out of this hole.
And you know what else? Seriously, the other thing I was thinking, you know, you and I both said, I don't want to send it to the GOP or to...
It's got to be, yeah. No.
It has to be like the Give, Send, Go. Give, Send, Go. Not to GoFundMe. GoFundMe will... They'll step in front of any political idea that's has a conservative value to it, and they will... they'll ruin it. So don't do that. Yeah. Go fund
I think those Give, Send, Go's, though, they take a percentage. So you know, you probably just round it up. $10, 70 million people, $700 million, and boom, you know, that's done. The surplus, say, that can go to charity.
Yeah,
and
I would give $10. I would do it.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd give it right now.
Yep, me too. I would too. If there's a Give, Send, Go account for the Trump penalty, I'll bet you they would have the funds they need within 24 hours.
Yeah, and if they go, well, you got to have liquidity. Well, it would be people would pay their $10 or $20, and it would be digitally in a bank an electronic wire transfer, which is what he would have to do anyway if there was that liquidity, because there is no cash. It's all credits on paper, and that could be transferred, and that would be it. And maybe the Give, Send, Go goes, yeah, we'll pay this. We'll hold in reserve in case there's anybody else, any other political hostage. Let's call them that. And the Give, Send, Go does that. I bet you'd see a lot of money going they'd find a way to say it's illegal.
One of the things that got me a little bit was, for example, there's a guy who was on his cabinet, Steve Mnuchin. He's a movie producer.
Right.
And he's, I believe, a billionaire, too. You would think that Mnuchin would have maybe these guys just don't have the cash on hand. Maybe that's the possibility. Maybe they have so much money, but it's all tied up, which is what is Trump's problem.
I don't think that there's really that much cash around. You know, I think wealth has grown beyond the actual, you know, liquidity of the planet. You know, wealth is on paper. It really is. So I don't know that you can do that, but, you know, this, Letitia put up a big illegal, constitutionally illegal, insurmountable wall. But, you know, his voting base could do it, you know, and knock it down. The left would be there to poo-poo it and say, oh, you know, people are mad.
Don't you think that Letitia knew about the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution? I mean, don't you think, in basic law school, they teach the Constitution to the lawyers?
I don't think she knew, actually. I don't think she knew, and I don't think she cares to know or know the law. As a matter of fact, she would ignore what you said. She might have said, yeah, I know that, but it doesn't apply. And she'd be going,
what? Wait a second. Yeah. Wait. Every single law in our country, every single law is supposed to be based upon our Constitution. You can't have an unconstitutional law.
You tell that to Ketanji.
Well... I mean,
freedom of speech.
Well,
Ketanji
I know. She's also the
First
same
Amendment.
She's also the same Supreme Court justice who couldn't define what a woman is. So, I mean, do I think she's the strongest?
You know, man, she looks like an idiot. Come on.
Yeah, it's amazing, but I don't. Will you explain what Ketanji said? What she did yesterday. She did. Wasn't it about free speech, her decision?
Yeah, I don't have the story in front of me, but basically, you know, she was perplexed by, you know, the First Amendment and the freedom of speech, and it was over TikTok, you know, and, you know, she, you know, because she thinks that what goes on in there, you know, could violate certain things, and it's like, wait a minute, now. You know, she would play both sides of that coin. You know, and the TikTok does bring up some arguments, but, you know, there's foreign interference, there's freedom of speech, there's all kinds of things that are going on there. And basically what she's saying is freedom of speech is a good thing, but only if it says if it's freedom to say what she wants or the left wants and not opposing views to them.
Well,
I didn't know that. I never saw that in the Constitution, but apparently it's there.
Well, we've got a strange situation right now. There's some people who would say that we have plants in our judicial system, and they're starting to show themselves. They're starting to reveal themselves. One thing did happen yesterday. I don't know whether you saw this. A major blow to Biden regime. This is the headline.
Oh, yeah.
Supreme Court allows Texas to enforce immigration law that gives police power to arrest illegals. Mind you, it was stayed for about 2 weeks. And the Biden administration, which, again, is supposed to be working for us, the American citizen, the Biden administration was contesting the Texas law. They wanted to have the law thrown out. The Texas immigration law is now in effect, and they can't arrest illegals. But they didn't want to give the state of Texas the ability to arrest and detain illegals. Think about that for a second. They're a border state, our biggest. You know, can you explain that to me? I mean,
no, I can't. You got to love, you're talking about border problems, and, you know, you've got the Haitians that are flooding in. And DeSantis, which, you know, I kind of agree with this. He's sitting there going, you know what? Haitian migrants are going to go straight to Martha's Vineyard if Biden blocks deportations.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody's up over there going, wait, what do you mean they're here? Well, you know what? He's your buddy.
You know what gets me? We're talking about all these Haitians coming to the U.S. Why don't they just go to the Dominican Republic? You know, I'll tell you why they don't go to the Dominican Republic. Because the Dominican Republic, which is their sister country on that island that they are on, Dominican Republic probably has, call me crazy, a border.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know what? We are dismantling America for, a very purposeful reason. I don't know what it is. You know, we kind of alluded yesterday about, well, you read that there is, remember back in 2016, Trump talked about a bubble, an economic bubble, and he didn't know when it was going to blow. And yeah. He needs to go back to that and readdress that, because it's about to blow, and it could blow here very quick. I mean, you know, we mentioned, you know, there's a cash grab going up in Massachusetts. You know, you have all these immigrants who are trying to find the money, and all these states don't have the money.
Yeah.
So where are they going to get this money? I don't know. You know, we pointed out the banks, they don't have your money in their depositories, and they're supposed to keep at least 10% of it in the Federal Reserve. But that was waived by the Biden administration because of the pandemic. And they never lifted that. And if they lifted it, the banks couldn't put the money in. That would be a crash. Because the Federal Reserve can't insure your money to begin with because the government can't back it. So we are in pending doom here.
Well, you heard, you know, I mean, does that surprise me, really? Not based upon our conversations over the past few months. We're walking towards this, have been walking towards this for some time, and nobody in the Biden administration is doing a blessed thing to stop it. Nothing.
No.
I mean, so do I think it's inevitable? Unfortunately, I do. I mean, and it's going to have a terrible effect on all of us. It's going to have an effect on you and me, Bill.
Yeah. You know, you've got Janice Yellen that's sitting there going, well, we may lower the rates, or we may go up. If the rates go up, we spiral out of control. Guess what happens if the rates go down? The dollar tanks, and that puts the whole world into depression. Yeah, the dollar still has some inherent value, even though we don't have the dollar anymore. That's why people are buying precious metals and gold. And no, I'm not here to pitch you on selling it, because we don't have a sponsor
right.
that does that. But
right.
the point is that we are in economic trouble. And it's about to come crashing down.
We played Douglas McGregor yesterday, but it's worth playing him again. It's only a short piece.
Sure.
Douglas McGregor is a military expert and a really staunch observer of the obvious in our world. I mean, he sees things that we all see, but he just happens to point them out, and it's a surprise to everybody. He was talking about the economy. And where we're going right now, listen to what he says. This is a guy who was a former colonel, former advisor to presidents, and he speaks common sense.
I don't think we'll ever get to the 2024 election. I think things are going to implode in Washington before then. I think our economic financial condition is fragile. It's going to come home to roost in ugly ways. I will tell you, I don't know exactly how it will happen. I think we're going to end up in a situation where we find out the banks are closed for 2 or 3 weeks and nobody can get into them.
You think so?
I think we're going to run into something like that, yeah. I also think that the levels of violence and criminality in our cities is so high that it's going to spill over into other places in society. People that normally think they can live remote from the problem are now beginning to be touched by the problem. Then I look at this thing in Ukraine. I think Ukraine is going to lose catastrophically. It's going to be a complete collapse. And that, too, is going to have an effect here at home because people are going to say, well, wait a minute. Everybody told us Ukraine was winning. Everybody told us X, Y, and Z. I mean, sort of the Russian hoax on steroids. All of those things are going to come together or converge in some way that's going to prevent us from reaching, you know, the status quo. Oh, another election. Oh, another set of campaigns and so forth.
Wow. I mean, he's saying essentially what you just said. We're walking towards a disaster, financial disaster. The Ukraine war is going to be lost and lost big time. It's obvious to him.
It's obvious to me, too. And I mean, trying to put your finger on it exactly. But I can tell you this. Will the government stop, the machine stop, everything stop? No, the government will sit there and say, no, 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 no. We'll keep everything going, but there won't be any elections. We will be under a government martial law and rule. Things will roll on. There will be no money exchange. You will stand in lines to get your ration of food, and it will be done that way. And that's, and, you know, at which point in time they've taken down our borders. They've dismantled America, and they will rebuild it into probably, in my mind, probably the one world order, the one world government that we talked about. That's probably where we're headed, and that will be the way that they do it. You know, we've got these what if you want to call them illegal or undocumented, they're here.
They're illegal, Bill. They don't want you to say it. They're trying to.
Because
you are
it's
Mr.
A word game.
You are Mr. Linguistics in our duo here. He used to study it, I believe, at one point.
Yeah, I did.
But the power of the word, how you use the word, right? And they don't want you, and they're obvious about it. Don't say illegals. They're undocumented. Don't say it.
Yeah, undocumented makes them a citizen because that is the next word that falls after. So it's a mind game.
Yes.
That's, you know, it's really subliminal, you know, what they're doing with the linguistics. But, you know, and that's something that Democrats and socialists have always and propagandists have always worked with is linguistics. It's when they say words matter, they actually really do matter.
Bill,
so when you say
Hitler
illegal, you're saying
Hitler was Hitler was big with linguistics. Hitler.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, because the Democrats all throw out there, and I take offense to it because I've got German Russian descent, but they sit there and they go, you know, he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
Really, do you know what a Nazi is? Do you really know about it? And do you know who you're offending? You're offending everyone. No, I'm not a Nazi. I don't want to be a Nazi, but you know. For them to do that, and then they sit there, they do all these negative memes, and then they sit there, and they have a nice picture of Joe saying, you know, they'll take his moral values over this guy over here any day. I'm like going, then you are a fool.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not paying attention to what's going on. You know, and they're coming down on it. Joy Reid was attacking. There's a secret society of Christian men, and they're waiting for MAGA to take over because then what they're going to do, this is true.
Yeah.
She did this. And then what they're going to do, according to this book, they're going to sit there and not pay taxes and do all these things, utopian things, and they will pass that wealth on down to their children and their families and their families and their families. These are Christian men, and they'll be recruiting other Christians as if, number one, I haven't heard of that society. Have you, Jim?
No, as a matter of fact, I have not. You know, the thing that gets me is they are doing a full court press right now, Bill. The closer we get to the election, the closer we move to the election, the more these people on the left are panicking. I heard some representative, Ted Lieu, say yesterday that forget all the other news, forget all the other ridiculous fake news sites. All you need to watch is MSNBC. I mean, I thought to myself, my eyes crossed when I heard that. It's like, what? MSNBC for truth and news? You got to be kidding. But they're trying desperately to get everybody to look away at what they've done. Don't look at the fact that we are not protecting your lives because we have an unsecure border. Don't look at the fact that you are living dollar to dollar because we've increased inflation, and the things that were just casual decisions years ago are suddenly major decisions like, should I have meat or gas in the car? I mean, things like that. Those are the kind of things that are now important decisions, and that's thanks to this administration. But you're not supposed to look at that. And another thing that gets me, Bill, before I forget this, you probably saw this because you are an astute observer of the news, but
you got me fooled.
Barack Hussein Obama was in England. He was in England yesterday.
Did he have security with him?
He had none. No security. Oh, okay. And they spotted him walking into 10 Downing Street, into the residence of the Prime Minister, to have a conversation with the Prime Minister of England. And here's a guy who's just an American citizen now. He's not supposed
he
shouldn't
to be
have.
Having,
yeah. Yeah, he's not supposed to have any power. He's not supposed to be a guy who is representing the United States. But he was over there, and he was alone, and he was walking into the head of state's residence in England.
Well, doesn't he have an office inside of Washington, D.C.?
Well, Bill, it's funny you should say that, because most presidents, when they leave the office,
they get the hell out of Dodge.
They sure do, but not Barack Obama. He bought an $8 million mansion and then had it refurbished because it wasn't good enough. And he had a skiff put in it. You know what a skiff is? A secure conference room where you can say whatever you want to say and nobody can hear you. This guy, many people believe that Obama is the hand behind the puppet. He's the guy who is, he's making Joe say and do what Joe is saying and doing, you know? But here, why would he be over in England having a political conversation with the head of state?
Well, I think because he is, he's one of the card holders, if not the dealer.
Yeah.
And I've thought for a long time, that we're watching a puppet show, and you got to see who's holding the strings to
That's
the puppets.
That's true.
Yeah, and we're not seeing what's really going on. You know, just kind of a side note here, and because I have a suspicious mind.
It's okay. So do I. So.
But rock on,
as I would say in radio.
You see all these illegals here.
Yeah.
And how are we paying for this? And all these states, they don't have, New York doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
Massachusetts doesn't have the money. Pennsylvania doesn't have the money.
Of course not.
I thought that was just odd because, yesterday or last night's, what was it, Mega Million jackpot, $843 million. We don't know who won the thing. By the way, if you got 62, 66, 44, 46, 24, and
wait,
that Powerball
wait, wait,
of seven.
Wait. I'm going to check my numbers again. Say it again.
62, 66, if I read my writing right, 49, 46, 24, and that magic last number is 7. But here's something that was odd. I kind of forgot I wasn't watching the Powerball, but, a lot of this stuff, selling the tickets and whatnot, done via computer,
So yeah.
If you're going to have to do an update on the system, the lottery, you quit selling tickets 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever the cutoff time is. All right, when that happens, shut that baby down, do what you got to do, make sure it's back up by 6 a.m. in the morning, right? Makes sense to me.
That's how I would do it. Yeah,
that's what you would do.
Yeah.
And you probably have a backup computer, but no, not in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania? This is in Pennsylvania.
You couldn't buy a lottery ticket yesterday afternoon, not even for, some of the other statewide.
So if a person went in saying, like, after work, going home, saying, I got to pick up my tickets?
Couldn't buy a lottery ticket here because the machine was down for maintenance. As a matter of fact, unless you bought a ticket before Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, if you bought a ticket Sunday or before, that one would count. And then, you know, the suspicious mind is going, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me for states to sit there and go, or the country go, we need some money. Wait, the lottery. People throw in their hard-earned cash on that. That's liquid money that we could sit there and steal.
Well, you know, they say lotteries, gambling is for suckers. The only winner is really the state. Actually, the only winner is the person who doesn't gamble.
I'm just saying, be suspicious of where or when the winner shows up. I mean, hell, they had one that came in from a year ago down to the wire for a big, big, big payout that kind of threw them off. Oh, we weren't ready for that. Well, why weren't you ready? What were you going to do with that money? You know, and that was what I thought.
Did they have a winner yesterday? Do you know? Did the Mega Millions have a winner, or is it rolling over?
Well, I don't know.
It was actually $890 million as far as
when I read the news this morning at 3, you know, it was probably based on old stuff. But my, you know, your radar's on. You know, your radar should be on. Now, I'm not saying they're stealing. I'm saying, but there is that possibility. And when you do something stupid like that. And say, well, because what happens if some guy goes, I have a piece of paper here, and those were my numbers, and I didn't get to bet them.
Yeah, have ever occurred to you how many things, Bill, we used to put people in jail for decades ago, like lotteries? If you were a mobster and you had a lottery going, they would put you in jail if they caught you for doing it. And now in some states, prostitution is illegal, but they put people in jail for that, too. I mean, a lot of the things, smoking marijuana, right? Not too long ago was against the law in most states. Now a lot of states have legalized it. It's fine now. It's okay. Just do your thing. I mean, so we have gambling. We have lotteries. And we have all this money being spent by the state to advertise all the different games. Oh, the Pennsylvania lottery, all this nonsense.
And a little disclaimer down at the bottom that, you know,
gambling's bad for you, and it could be
bad for you. Now, here's the good news. You can win $1 billion.
You know, and I got to tell you.
Spend your life savings, you know, please.
In all
the machine's down. I'm sorry.
In all honesty, I don't do it all the time, but when the jackpots get up there, I figure, what's a few bucks? So I put a few bucks in the Mega Million. I don't buy all the other peripheral stuff, but I put in the Mega Million because I buy a piece of the dream for a few days so that I can participate in the daydream, the what if I win the lottery, you know? If you don't have, what was the old saying?
You
if you don't have a ticket,
luck.
You can't win, you know? So.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, look, it to me. You know, and I bought the lottery tickets too because we get sold on the dream. Well, boy, what would I do with that? And sometimes the distraction in your mind is you think about it for that week that you're holding that ticket. Well, I probably won't win. Boy, but if I did.
Yeah.
And you're distracted from
I'm going to be so good to all my friends. You know.
And you're distracted by everything else.
I remember seeing a documentary about 5 or 10 years ago about lottery winners and how their lives changed, not necessarily for the better. A lot of them who won lotteries, you would think they'd be set for life, and 3 years after they won the lottery, they were broke or bankrupt because they had given money away or they had overextended themselves. They had made bad investments. They didn't know how to manage the money, and they blew it and actually were in a worse condition 3 years later than they would have been if they just didn't win at all.
Yeah, I've never actually known or even been close to anybody that's known a national lottery winner. And I sometimes wonder if it's like the old movie, The Running Game, you remember with Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, they
There's
would have
no winner?
Yeah, these cons that would sit there and, you know, here comes so-and-so, you know, the defender. And, you know, these criminals, because the thing was, if they made it through the maze of all these defenders, you know, they would get to sit there and go free. And they'd show the ones that won out in that life, living the life of Riley. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, what if the lottery is that way too? You know, it's all fake.
Well, you know, I mean, I would say, oh, that can't be the case. You know, it's being run by the state. But then I look around and over the
run
things
by the state.
Yeah,
you just answered
been,
it.
Yeah, there have been things that have been going on over the last few years that I should be much more yeah, accustomed to the state.
Russia and the state. We make Russia fun of Russia and the state. We got 50 states.
Yeah.
And the big puppeteer of the states, you know, so.
Are you as fatalistic about where we're going right now as Doug McGregor is? I mean, he says we're headed towards a major crisis. He doesn't think we're going to make it to the 2024 election. Do you think we're going to have a 2024 election, or is this all smoke and mirrors?
Jim, you've asked me that question before, and I don't believe we're going to make it to the election. Now, what life is going to be like and what's going to happen, I don't know. I mean, I'm one of those believers. Life does go on, you know, and, you know, Trump could be arrested, locked up, and thrown in jail, and there's Democrats out there going now, yay, yay, yay. Well, yeah, life might go on, and you can have your frozen pizza tonight after you throw it in the microwave or throw it in the oven. Yeah, okay. And you can watch the 6 o'clock liberal news, but things are going to change really quickly, and it's not going to be a utopia that we're sliding into.
But see, here's the thing. I don't necessarily believe, I happen to agree that there may not be a 2024 election, but I don't think it's, I think it's going to be a much more upsetting and tumultuous time. I think we are headed
towards... Well, I didn't say it was going to be a good time.
No, I don't think things will just, you know, the government will just put a damper on the elections, and that'll be that. I think that if we may be headed towards some kind of civil unrest, let's just put it like that, civil unrest.
Well, there'd be civil unrest. There could be martial law. You know, in a city that has factories with deadly chemicals, there's a thing called shelter in place, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, you lock yourself down in your home.
Right.
You put the number count of how many people are on the door. You take five. There's five people in that house. And then you take plastic and seal the windows. And that's so, you know, whatever happens to you think you're protecting yourself, but they know how to count the dead bodies when it's all over with. Okay, there's five in that place, two over there, three over there. That's what that's for. Shelter in place. You ever hear of it?
Sure.
It's really just it's an accounting system.
You know what kind of a world we live in right now? This is on a personal level, and we're getting ready to end the show, but I had my daughter and my grandson flew in for a few days to visit with us, and it was a wonderful time. But being the concerned and, you know, grandfather and father, I was thinking, you know, the world is so screwed up. I hope everything's okay for them getting here from New England, getting down to Pittsburgh, everything be safe. And then I hope to God when the visit was over, whether everything would go smoothly on the return trip, which it did, thank God. And I really appreciate it. I think God was with them. I know you may think I'm sounding like a holy roller here, but no, I'm sorry. That's how I believe. I believe God has a hand in everything. And fortunately, by 11 o'clock last night, they were home and safe in their own little abode back in New England. But to even have to worry, even have to worry about them traveling, something they've done over the years without any problem at all, it to me is an indication of the world we live in. The fact that we have demonstrators, the fact that judges, for example, like we said at the opening of the show, liberal judges who are allowing illegals to have guns. They can have guns, sure, they have to protect themselves, no problem. It's the law, they can have it based upon her opinion. I mean, what a fathead. What an ignorant fathead for her to come with a decision like that. But now good people have to worry about their families. You have to worry about your kids, Bill. I had to worry about mine because the structure, the discipline in our society is falling apart. The liberals are on, and it is the liberals, by the way. If you're listening to the show and you're saying, well, I'm a liberal, I don't believe. Bull. It is the liberals that are doing this. The left is tearing apart the fabric of our country. The right is not doing, the liberals will tell you, oh, the right's doing bad stuff, huh? Those MAGA people. But all the damage that you can see is being done by your side.
Well, that's because the left is fully infiltrated. There are people on the right that are a part of this movement, too. And if we, as the people, don't wake up and don't stop this, and I don't care that you're a Democrat. I don't care that you're an independent. I don't care that you're a Republican. But if you're a patriot, if you're a true citizen of life, you've got to sit there and go, something's not right. And when you look at it, we as a whole have to put a stop and to it. And right now, I would implore you to take a look at Trump, because you could take a look at Biden, who doesn't even know what country he's in anymore.
Yeah.
Or who a state is, and we won't go there because we don't have the time. But,
yeah,
you know, take a look at the face value, and don't be so damn judgmental. Well, he did this and that. You know, yeah, a lot of people say, you know, that he did bad things. You know what? I've heard bad things about you people. Yeah, I have.
You know.
So you are not without sin. So don't even be casting that stone.
Joe,
sit there.
Has had a vice president for the past 3 years, and you would think he would know her name.
And with the leadership of this woman to my left here, they're going to speak out again in 2024.
You know, under the leadership of the woman to my left here, and if you saw the video, it was like, and what's your name again? He was talking about Carmella.
Oh, he doesn't give a flying rat's butt.
Yeah.
You know, what was it? I'm trying to see if I can find the one story, just the headline where he was rattling off different.
The city. It was the towns. He was talking. He said, fly off to Toronto and to Rome and to all the and other American cities. It's like, what?
Yeah. He named like three places that they exist, but not in this country. And it's like, come on. You know, he is an idiot beyond. Look, I mean, if you look up idiot in the dictionary, his picture's there.
Yeah.
It really is. So
actually, Bill, I think if my computer works well, I think I can play that cut that you were talking about.
I had the dubious distinction of being listed as the poorest man in Congress for 36 years. I got a phone call. My wife was campaigning up. I was campaigning up in New Hampshire back when that statistic came out in the 90s. And she called. I used to call.
Actually, that wasn't the cut, but this,
All right.
Hang on. Don't go away. I have it right here on my little computer device.
We drove out to the airport and put you on Air Force One. You said you had a prescription you needed to fill, and it was an American company that made it. I'd say, okay, let's fly to Toronto or to Berlin or to London or to Rome or any major city in America. I'll get you that same prescription filled in those cities for 40 to 60% less than it costs you at a pharmacy here.
Do you hear what he just said, folks?
Yeah.
He listed off all these foreign cities, and he said those were the American cities.
Hey, you know, that's Joe, and
I know.
You know, this is the guy that apparently you elected. I mean, that's what they tell me anyway, elected this
when
guy.
When I see Barack Obama strolling unprotected into 10 Downing Street, I think to myself, there's something in this world going on. And by the way, if you see Trump, a former president, when he travels around from place to place, he has an entourage of like 19 vehicles. And when you saw Barack stroll into 10 Downing Street, he was all by himself.
I got to say this with all the love in the world. Who cares? Yeah, I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that is that he's off the radar. Nobody really cares about him. And, his importance level perceptively is very low.
But I was under the impression that former presidents are supposed to have Secret Service protection at all times.
Well, there could have been sharpshooters that you didn't see that were protecting him, but he was going in there, he went in broad daylight, but under the air of...
normalcy?
He wanted to be stealth. Normalcy, stealth, so nobody would draw suspicion.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, buddy, we've done it again, another show in the can. If you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com.
And with that, I think all we have to do is your traditional send-off.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we are also on X. Just look for Jim and Bill. And Rumble, look for Jim and Bill.
Oh, good.
And until we meet again, hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.